Hello, welcome back to Camp Half Pod. We are your head counselors. I'm Erin, daughter of Athena.
And I'm Monica, daughter of Persephone. This week we're starting a brand new series, Trials of Apollo, with chapters 1 through 4 of The Hidden Oracle.
New book, new series.
A series that I have never read, so it's going to be very raw. I'm planning on reading only the chapters as we do them, so you're going to get my raw reactions.
Yes, I was going to be like, we should probably go over what we decided with that. Okay, so you're doing, interesting, this will be interesting. Then you can make predictions along the way.
Yes, and I have a feeling that they're going to be wrong, so this will be very fun.
I love that. Maybe you can just embrace it and make them, like, as absurd as possible.
Yeah, I feel like that's our signature for everything we do.
And we'll be doing, like, 4 chapters at a time, but we did decide if we realize that it's going too slow, then we'll, like, bump it up to 6.
Yeah. I mean, like to be fair, they're shorter chapters. These might be shorter episodes. I think that's okay for this, series, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Especially after the monster that was Heroes of Olympus. God. I think it's nice to go back to more reasonably sized books for children.
One narrator, one perspective. It's nice.
I hope that there isn't more than, like, you know, one prophecy per book.
Yeah, I think it's just one per book. Okay. I don't know. I don't remember.
I guess we'll find out together.
That's exciting. So fun. Anyways, how was your break from podcasting?
It was good. I mean, not having to do a book report is always nice, but I did miss it. I did miss our weekly chats. So it's nice to be back and have a consistent schedule again. I was out of the country for 6 weeks, so it was a long time living out of a suitcase. So I'm very glad to be back in my home.
Yes. Yes. Got any good stories to share with the listeners over your week?
So my cousin's kids are super, super cool, super cute. And one of them, well, two of them are really into the Percy Jackson series. And so they found out that I like the Percy Jackson series. And so it was very cute to kind of go over information with them. I did have to remind them not to spoil this series, because they were very excited to have discussions about it. And then I have a younger nephew who's 6. These are like 9 and 13. And a 6-year-old really wanted to join this discussion. So he tried to read the books for the first time. Did not understand it, but it was very cute that he was trying. It was very fun. But they found the podcast, so when they eventually, if they make it through hearing, I know, if they make it through and listen to all of these episodes and get to episode 82 of my voice,
they don't lose all respect for you.
I know, my cousin was like, "Oh, what's your podcast? I'll show it to the boys." And I was like, "Oh, if I want that."
You're like, I to hear my podcast.
Yeah. Also, 9 is very young.
Yeah.
I hope there's not a lot of 9.
Go away. Well, don't go away. Nicely, go away.
Please make sure your parents know you are listening to us.
Yeah.
We have an E next to our podcast.
That's true. It's for Erin.
It's warning you of Erin.
E for excellent.
That was my break. What about you?
I was just chilling.
You moved?
I did move. I moved to locations. I didn't move, like, far. I just moved to a new dwelling, which was a lot of work. And I was, like, thinking, I was like, Manasa's like, I went out of the country for 6 weeks, and I'm like, I started going to acupuncture.
Oh, well, how's that going?
It's actually good. I have, like, a lot of pain in my body. I'm held together by the tension. So it's been good. I'm poking needles into myself. And I moved, so I guess that's a thing.
That must have added to the tension.
Yeah, yeah.
I have this fear I don't know if it was like in a Final Destination movie. It had to be, but it's like acupuncture, and then they roll off the table and land on the needles, and so it's always scared me. I know that's not how the needles are way too like thin, and that's not how they are, but it's always scared me.
Unlocked a new fear.
Yeah, enjoy acupuncture. Try not to roll off the table.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, it was a fine break. It was restful. I'm excited to do my book reports again. I was texting Monisa about like how many chapters to do at a time, and I just keep trying to give myself more homework. Like I'm like, actually, we should do like 30 at a time. Like, you know, I feel like I'm gonna be like, we should actually do the whole book all at once because one I love sitting. Homework. I just love it. Apparently, I like You've to torture myself. It. I have missed it. My glory days.
Imagine if we got graded on this. You'd be thriving. Academic validation.
But what if they didn't like me, Ben?
The professors? Professors of this book report?
Professor Zeus.
Zeus likes all women. Much.
Yeah. Zeus likes any women. And I'd have a harder time. I feel like Professor Athena would be a little harder to impress with this content.
I feel like you would color code something and then she would give you an A.
Yeah, that's good. I should start color coding. Anyways, we are going to start Trials of Apollo. So I think off the bat, do you know any spoilers for Trials of Apollo?
I know that Will and Nico are in a relationship whenever we see them. I think, I don't know if we see them in this book or if it's a later book. I know that Piper and Jason and Leo and Calypso show up.
That's true.
I've heard that Leo and Calypso are not great. Like, Leo's, I think, possessive, or he's somehow annoying with his relationship, which is an unfortunate character. Yeah, trait that he's added. I know that Percy and Annabeth aren't really in it very much. I mean, in this episode, I was really surprised to see Percy show up so fast.
It's to get us, to reel us all in.
I know, honestly. I mean, that's what they did with Heroes of Olympus.
It works, too. Yeah.
What else do I know? No, that's literally it. That's all I know.
Sweet. That's exciting. And then that's a reminder to the listeners that if you have anything that you want to talk about that includes a spoiler, to just, like, put at the beginning of your message or your email that it's a spoiler so we know. And ideally, like, what book, you know, because once we get into it and we're, like, a few books in, it doesn't matter if you spoil the first few books because we'll have read it. But, yeah, that's just a little reminder for that. And as you send in questions, too, to try to mark, like, what episode it's for. Because we've just been, like, saving all the Trials of Apollo questions. And
yes. I haven't bring looked them up at them. I've just marked them and put them aside. So if you emailed me and you've included anything to do with Trials of Apollo in your email, I have tried not to look at it. So sorry for not responding to those.
We're blacklisting anyone who mentions Trials of Apollo. No, it's just going to a special little folder.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are you should ready? We get into it?
Yeah, let me tell you a quick summary of what we're talking about today. First four chapters, we get to meet Lester, which is the worst name ever for a former god. We get introduced to a new demigod, and we see what's going on with our favorite boy.
We miss him. We miss him so much.
Yeah.
Are we going to read the haikus?
Oh, I have not included them. Let me grab my book.
Okay.
I have a physical book this time.
You bought the physical book. That's so fun. I'll start off with chapter one. Hoodlums punch my face. I would smite them if I could. Mortality blows. Wow. So literary. So the opening line of this book I think is really good. It's, my name is Apollo. I used to be a god. I guess that's two lines, but that's fine. So we enter into the story in media res, finding that Apollo has crash-landed in a dumpster, and also his name is not Apollo anymore. Instead, he is stuck in the mortal body of a teenage boy, which sounds awful. This is all because Zeus blames Apollo for everything that happened in the last series and the war with the giants. and his name according to his driver's license, which I thought was really funny that Zeus took the time to make a fake license for Apollo. Mm-hmm. He was like, I gotta make sure you can drive legally.
He didn't want to have this kid call him and be like, Dad, I need a ride. So he gave him, at least he gave him the ability to drive.
And he wanted to make sure, he was like, you're not old enough to drink. You're not old enough to vote. I'm going to make you just old enough to drive, nothing else.
Yeah.
It was part of the punishment. But his name on his driver's license is Lester Papadopoulos, which he says is torture in itself, having that name. Apollo, or Lester, I don't know what I'm going to call him. I think I'm just going to switch.
I called him Apollo the entire time. Okay,
that feels better to me.
Than Lester.
Lester.
Yeah.
He can't quite remember all the details of his sentencing. He isn't sure how long he's stuck for or what he's supposed to do on Earth to regain Zeus's favor and become a god again. All he knows is that everything is unfair, which is very much playing into his whole teenage boy thing. He's very much acting like a teenage boy.
To be fair, I feel like he was a teenage boy even when he wasn't. He, like, chose to be, like, 17 years old, right?
And
he presented himself.
His sister chose to be, like, 12, and he was, like, he wants to be a teen. Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he wanted to be, like, a hot teen, and he's now stuck as an awkward, realistic teen. The torture. So Lester tries to get up and get his bearings, but of course he's met by the two natural inhabitants of the alleyway dumpster, which is teenage thugs. And their names are Mikey and Cade, who promptly knock him out and try to steal his money. So, chapter 2, the haiku. A girl from nowhere completed my embarrassment. Stupid bananas. Lester, or Apollo, is sufficiently beaten up by the alleyway thugs, and we find out that they are working for some boss that specifically sent them to Lester, stating that he would be loaded, which is kind of funny because he's not. He just has, like, his wallet with his bad ID photo. He demands.
Well, I loved that he had $100 and he was like, this is lunch money. And it kind of reminded me of Arrested Development when she's like, Michael, how much could a banana cost? $12.
Yeah.
Like, lunch money. How much could lunch cost? $100.
Well, you know, in this economy, he's in New York.
He is.
Trying to eat out his lunch money. That is funny. So he demands to know who the thug's boss is, and they beat him up some more, but then a savior appears, which is a small 12-year-old girl with rhinestone cat-eye glasses who kind of looks, like, very feral. She claims that this is her alleyway, and she makes the rules, and that whatever money Lester has belongs to her. She attacks them with banana peels then, like an absurd amount of banana peels and rotten fruit, to the point that Apollo, Lester, whatever, is like, there's something demigodly going on with this person, but he doesn't put two and two together or anything. He doesn't try to figure out who the parent is. He's just like, oh yes, rotted fruit equals power. And so she attacks him with the banana peels and gets them to run away. And when left alone with Lester, she asks if he's really Apollo, because she overheard him claiming to the thugs that he was Apollo before they beat him up. She introduces herself as Meg, and Apollo intuits that she must have some sort of demigod power since she attacked the thugs with rotten fruit. Apollo then asks for her help. She tells him that they're in Manhattan, and he thinks that he needs to get to Camp Half-Blood. But since he's stuck in a mortal body, like, no demigod powers, nothing, he won't be able to find it without a guide. Because as we remember, like, Rachel was the only one. Like, Rachel could find it because she had her special mortal eyes that could see through the mist.
Also, she was with demigods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he gets a grand idea and asks Meg to help him get to the Upper East Side, and in exchange, he'll reward her. He explains to her, like, this has happened before. He's been stuck as a mortal before. Zeus usually requires him to work as a servant to an important demigod, so he has to get to camp and figure out which demigod he should be working for. But Meg is like, a demigod, you say? And then she immediately is like, I'm Meg McCaffrey and I claim your service. And then thunder rumbles in the sky, and it appears that Apollo is now bound to this young feral demigod. And he's just like, this is the punishment, this is the cherry on top. Thanks, Dad. She knows that she's a demigod, but she won't tell Apollo how she knows that. And then Apollo says that they must go find their guide to camp, who he says is Percy Jackson. Gotta name drop Percy in chapter one. Keep us all interested.
Chapter two,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Sorry.
So give us a little bit of a, like, maybe he won't show up in this book. His, like, story is over, but just kidding. This is a Percy Jackson series. So
we're gonna pull him back into this.
Yes. It's just the vibe.
It is the vibe. I respect it. Rick found something that works. It gets our attention. It's good.
It's good.
I love to see Percy. My only note is, like, I love his narration. Like, he's so stuck up, and he's just constantly like, how dare he put me in this body? And, like, $100, that's just lunch money. And I find it very endearing.
You love an obnoxious man sometimes.
Yeah.
As long as they're comical.
I love it when they're comical. They're not, like, problematic. They're just, you know, funny.
And they're suffering, which helps the comedy.
Yeah, exactly. I love to see men suffer.
All right, well, I have chapters 3 through 4, so I'll start with the haiku. Used to be gaudy, now uptown feeling shoddy. Bah, haiku don't rhyme.
Really good.
Not his best work.
Doing well. Yeah.
I'm also imagining Rick trying to come up with these.
He has to come up with, like, 40 for each book.
Each book.
Yeah.
Just, like, smashing his head against the desk, trying to count all the syllables to make sure they fit.
I remember doing, like, in elementary school, doing, like, a haiku unit and just, like, counting on my hands, like, damn it, the word's too long.
I hated it because I could never, once I hyperfixate on a word, I can't think of anything else, which is why Wordle is always very hard for me. I'm like, I want it to be this word, and I stick to it, even though none of the letters are, anyway, a tangent. So chapter 3, Apollo and Meg head uptown to try and see our boy Percy. Everyone is staring at Apollo because he looks like he just got mugged and he smells like garbage. Apollo, of course, has a whole inner monologue of being like, oh, the mortals, they're looking at me. They sense my godliness. Apollo takes this time to examine his new mortal look. So he's, and also kind of tells us readers what he should be looking like in case we're still imagining Apollo. He's a 16-year-old dork. He's curly dark hair, blue eyes, and to his horror, teenage acne. To add insult to injury, Apollo discovers he's not ripped. He's used to having his 8-pack, and now he's got a normal teenage boy body, and his humiliation is, like, knows no bounds. On their way over, Apollo tries to get more information from Meg about herself. She's kind of very go with the flow. She doesn't seem to be fazed by anything that's happening, and she also has no idea what Camp Half-Blood is. She also won't talk about her past. She's just like, the alleyway is my home, which Apollo, who, you know, at one point was an adult, knows that's not a real thing and asks about her family and her friends and where she grew up, but she won't give him any information. As Apollo thinks about his weakened states, he hints that he has, like, many enemies. He's been around for 4,000 years, but there's one in particular that he thinks would be detrimental to meet in his weakened state. He doesn't say who it is. He's like, as long as he doesn't find me. And then the thought is so scary, he forces himself to stop thinking about it. Apollo recognizes Paul's blue Prius, which still has the Pegasus hoof print dented into the hood. I'm like, go get that fixed, Paul.
I think Paul probably keeps it as, like, an award.
I mean, that's true.
He's like, see, there's proof. Anytime he starts to feel a little crazy about everything Percy talks about, he looks out at the car and is like, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not being gaslighted. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he knows that they're close to Percy's house, but he can't exactly pinpoint where it is because every time, apparently, he's come to Percy's house, which I didn't know he'd ever been to Percy's house, he's done it via Chariot in the Sky. Meg mentions she thinks she saw some shiny blobs following them, and she says that super calmly. Apollo wants to know why she didn't mention anything before or did not freak out, and she says that weird things happen to her all the time, so she wasn't alarmed by it, and she's only mentioning it now. Apollo is terrified. He's thinking it might be some spirits. He knows she's not lying, and she probably did see blobs, and he's used to, you know, things haunting him, so he runs over to Percy's door. As Apollo rings the bell to the building, he himself sees something like a flash of a blob, and he's pretty sure he's got a spirit attached to him, and they quickly enter Percy's apartment. Percy opens the door and immediately is upset to see Apollo standing in front of him. My favorite thing is he opens the door and just goes, "Why?" when he sees like, Apollo. No. He invites them inside, though he's annoyed to have Apollo at his door.
I love that. I love Percy being just like jaded and like, "I am done helping you guys. Just let me live."
Well, the comedy too is Apollo's really deluded in the entire, you know, narration from him mm-hmm. himself. So he's like, "Percy is like in love with me. He thinks I'm the coolest person ever. He's going to be so thrilled to see me. I taught him everything he knows." And Percy opens the door and goes, "Dear God, why? Why you?"
Yes. And like, we know, we're like, Percy does not love you, man. No. As we're reading it, it's great.
All right. So chapter 4, Casa de Jackson, no gold plated throne for guests. Seriously, dude? Okay. Why is there Spanish? I don't know.
Rick loves Spanglish, remember?
He really does. I think he took Spanish in high school and yeah. he's really flexing on his knowledge yeah. here.
Yeah. Maybe his kid was like taking Spanish in high school at the time and he was like,
"Oh,
I know. I got a couple words in my belt.
Some vocab words."
Yeah.
He's testing his casa. Kid for a spelling test. Yeah.
That means house.
He's pocketing these words to use later, torture us all. I mean, nothing is worse than Leo's Spanglish, so yeah. at least that's not yeah. happening right now.
Well, just wait.
Oh, God. Well, if it's not his own narration, is he still going to use Spanglish? Like, just in wait. His speaking voice? Like, he's going to talk in yeah. Spanglish
yeah.
to people who don't speak Spanish?
Yes.
I would never do that.
Yeah, well, Leo okay. would.
Leo's an asshole, apparently. Okay, so Apollo catches Percy up a little bit on his punishment, and then we get to see the love of our lives, Sally Jackson, and she's 7 months pregnant. I was floored by this. I was like, good for her. I mean, she's at most, what, 30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was 19 when she... Oh, wait, that's wrong. She was 19 when she had Percy, and Percy's what, like 16?
He's supposed to be like,
so she's 17. In her mid-30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She and Paul are having a baby.
So can you imagine, though, like, Percy was on his whole quest thing while she was pregnant. Like, he probably came home emotion. And she was, like, 5 months pregnant, and he was like, "What happened while I was gone?"
Well, it's also, it must have been like, can you imagine her emotions, her hormones? She's missing one kid and she's supposed to have another.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh. Well, poor Sally.
Well, this is an interesting turn of events because while Apollo, like us, admires Sally's good looks, he realizes that his mortal brain won't let him see her as anything but like an older mom figure. So he's like... So the way Rick is, like, making sure that we keep everything age-appropriate, because, like, we don't need Apollo monologuing about, like, "Damn, girl, you're in your late 30s.
Because if it was, like, true to a real Apollo, he'd be, like, wanting to have sex with everyone.
Everyone. It would be, like, Meg, Percy, it would be like Sally.
Children, adults. It would be really disturbing. It would not be appropriate for any ages to read. No.
So Rick is like, okay, this is how we're going to cap that. Moving on.
Yep.
So Sally gently checks over Apollo's wounds and sends him to take a shower, get bandaged, and wear some of Percy's old clothes. She also does the same thing to Meg, who does not run away, surprising Apollo when Sally holds her face, which is like clearly an orphan who's craving some love, and Sally definitely understands that. In the bathroom, being given a Led Zeppelin shirt by Percy, which... Apollo hints that it's because he fell from the sky and Percy has a horrible sense of humor. Apollo notes that his wounds are healing a lot faster than a normal human, but definitely not as fast as like a god's would, which is like also he has blood, like he bleeds, which he was really shocked about too. Mm-hmm. He goes to Percy's room and they discuss a plan. To Apollo's surprise, Percy does not want to get involved in anything more than driving Meg and Apollo to camp. apparently he's made a promise to Annabeth that he will not miss any more school. Thanks to Hera, he missed a whole semester of his junior year and has spent the last, you know, couple of months trying to play catch up so that he can attend college with Annabeth in the fall.
Aww.
Percy also wants to be around for the birth of his baby sister. Aww. It's a little girl. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I was reading this book and I was like, my jaw was dropped because I had no idea. I have seen like people being like Percy's sister. And I was like, what a weird canon for you guys.
You're like, okay, fan fiction.
I did not expect it at all.
You're going to just be reading this and realize everything you thought was like fan fiction headcanons were like from Trials of Apollo or something.
100%. 100%. I'm very excited to figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Percy has a lot of things going on. He's already been in two really life-risking big prophecies. He cannot find himself in a third one. He is tired. He wants to go to college with his girlfriend. And he just wants to be around for his mom, who is about to release her novel. She's really doing it for herself.
I want to read her novels. I love our headcanon that they're romance novels about having sex with a god.
It's specifically Poseidon. And yeah. She's got accurate information, too.
Yeah.
Apollo is confused at first because he's like, don't you want the honor and the glory? But also kind of understands and decides that he will figure it out once they go to camp. And that's how that chapter ends.
I think Apollo clearly wanted Percy to be the demigod he was serving, because Percy's probably, like, a celebrity.
Oh, well, he's a big celebrity.
The gods don't have they're celebrities to themselves, but he's probably, like, the most hero demigod alive.
Yeah, and especially of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, and also, like, for Apollo, he's got his ego thing, so to be able to say, like, oh, well, I served under Percy, at least he could say that. And for sure, he's crushing on Percy.
Oh, yeah. Aren't we all?
I know, that's true.
Especially if he's stuck as a teen, he's the same age as Percy.
Yeah, so, and then his brain will allow it to happen.
Yes, that's
I'm
how
sure
it works.
That his god brain did not stop him, and he just didn't get his perspective in the PJO series, thank god.
True.
So my notes is that I'm glad he made Apollo's voice very different from Percy's. Like, yeah. They did the same, like, first person POV, but it's like it's clearly a very different character.
Yeah.
Like, Apollo is very obnoxious and unintentionally funny, whereas mm-hmm. Percy's endearing and hilarious on purpose. So it's a good balance.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun. It makes it extra funny, like, reading his perspective and knowing it's so biased. And, like, he's such an unreliable narrator with his view of how everyone thinks of him.
Yes. It's very fun. I am also very proud of our girl, Sally.
Yeah.
I was reading it and very happy. So I'm glad that, like, the update that we get is with him with his mom, because I feel like the Heroes of Olympus was a lot of, he disappeared and he's like, oh shit, my mom doesn't know
I should call her.
Yeah. And, and I had a prediction. So obviously the next couple chapters are going to be Percy taking Meg and Apollo to camp.
Mm-hmm.
I think Percy's going to get hurt on his way to camp, or he's going to have to, for some reason, he's not going to be able to take them all the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In a similar way to where when Percy was trying to go to camp, like Grover and his mom were trying to take him, he got stopped all right before he got to camp, and he had to kind of figure it out, because that way he gets a little bit of fighting experience, because we haven't had any real good fight scenes yet. So
that's my
theory.
I like it.
I think Apollo's powers, I think he has more powers than he knows.
Mm.
He's just going to have to train to figure out what they are. I don't think he's fully mortal. I also don't know who Meg's godly parent is, because rotting fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like fruit. I was like, oh, if it was grapes, it would be Dionysus. Rotting fruit, I have no idea. Maybe Demeter, but I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
I feel like there'll be more signs as they battle or whatever they do.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
All right. Well, are you ready to go through some questions?
Let's do it. Alrighty, my first question is, which god would you like to punish and trap in a mortal body?
Oh, well, 100% Zeus.
Yeah.
But he needs to be trapped. I think it'd be very interesting if he got trapped in a woman's body.
Ooh, because I was going to say, like, Zeus could be a liability as a man. Like, he'd be a little scary. But in a woman's body, that's interesting.
A woman's body and, like, yeah, a woman's body, and he'd have to feel the fear that maybe he inflicts.
Ooh.
Of being unsafe. Mm-hmm. But, like, part of me thinks that he would turn into a god and be like, well, that doesn't apply to me anymore. But
yeah.
That's one. To be fair, any of the men.
Right.
What about you?
I was thinking Hera would be interesting because, you know, like, this isn't a punishment for the events of the last book, but I think Hera is, like, just as responsible. But I think that Rick was like, I can't make Hera likable. I can't write five books from Hera's point of view. But I would love to see her struggling just to do, like, normal things, normal human things. I think that'd be fun. And also any of the men.
Yeah. Also, I feel like as, like, a young adult book, having Hera's main POV be about her struggling marriage. I feel like that would be hard to relate to.
No one would care.
No.
And it's not like she could, like, get a new romance. Her whole thing is, like, marriage. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Actually, the end of the series, she decides to give up on marriage altogether.
Yeah. She's like, I've forsaken it. She gets with, like, Aphrodite instead.
Yeah. She mixes it up a little bit.
Yeah. That'd be fun. I'd read it. Okay, we got this one emailed. Lexi asked, now that we've read the start of Trials of Apollo and Heroes of Olympus and Percy Jackson, what was our favorite opening line out of these series? And they provided the three opening lines, so we don't have to look it up. So Percy Jackson, it's, look, I didn't want to be a half-blood. Heroes of Olympus, even before he got electrocuted, Jason was having a rotten day. And Trials of Apollo, my name is Apollo, I used to be a god.
Oh, I mean, classic PJO. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to be a half-blood.
Agree.
Yeah. Same. The other two are really good. Like, the electrocuted one is hilarious. I loved it and then was like, oh, okay, this is Jason. That's fine.
Yeah, I think same. I didn't want to be a half-blood. I like that my name is Apollo. I used to be a god. The Heroes of Olympus one, I feel like he could do better, you know? Mm-hmm. Rick's done better with the other ones, but it's fine.
All right, well, my question is, if you were Zeus, what other name besides Lester would you give your bratty son to annoy him?
Mm-hmm. Olaf.
Oh, interesting. But I feel like Olaf is a name, though, right?
Right. Well, that's like, Lester's a name.
Yeah, but, like, Lester is, I feel like, less common than Olaf, depending on the place
in the world. Oh, that's true. If we were in, like, Germany, Olaf would be popular. I just thought of that one because one of our friends at the New Year's party was talking about how she would have been named Olaf.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what her dad wanted to name her.
Thank God she's a girl.
I know. I'm trying to think what other names are, like, I just feel bad. What if I insult someone with
that name? I know, that's why I was, like, trying to say, like,
Chad is funny.
But yeah. I feel like Apollo would have embraced
Chad. He would have thought it was a good name because Apollo's kind of a Chad. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, going a bit more feminine, like, giving him a girl's name, like Leslie, which is still boys are named Leslie.
Yeah,
Or
a good one, I nannied a kid once whose name, his given first name was Longstreet, which would be a good name to give someone as punishment. Oh, I loved that kid, though. He was such a nice kid. He was so sweet. What a name.
Well, you know, that's more effective of the parents than anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They raised him well. They just gave him an interesting name.
Well, here's a second unrelated question. Do you have a name that you are going to be named before you were chosen to be Aaron?
If I was a boy, my name was going to be Sean.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and my middle name was going to be Alan, because my parents didn't find out my sex before I was born, so they had like two names picked out. I'm really glad I was a girl.
Sean Allen.
Do you have a name? You were almost named?
Yeah, so my parents didn't find out the sex either, which you would think they had a boy's name, but I think they were very...
they knew.
My mom was kind of, she's like manifesting a girl, so she didn't even think of it. She was like, I think I was going to be Gaurav if I was a boy.
Okay.
And then they had two names picked out for me. Well, three names picked out for me if I was a girl.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My dad really liked Gauri, which is like an older name, but that's my great-grandma's name.
Oh, cool.
This is all because of my brother. They're like, we wanted matching.
It sounds good with your brother's name. Yeah. The G's, yeah.
And then my mom really wanted to name me Siri.
Oh. That would have been interesting with the invention of Apple's Siri.
Yeah, especially, like, it's totally normal in India.
Yeah, it's a very common name.
It ruined my life as a, like, a eighth grader in Washington State, yeah.
Yeah, because people were, like, really into using Siri when we were in like eighth grade because it was new. Yeah.
Mm. Well, 100% they would have been like, they would have called her and, you know, been like, hey, Siri, ask me a question and done.
Yeah. That would have been awful. I bet kids got bullied. Oh, God.
Oh, well, they find a reason to bully all the kids.
True.
There's nothing you can really do about it.
True.
And then Manasa, they decided Manasa. It was like the name my mom had picked out when she was younger. So she
that's so cute.
Back pocket. Yeah.
I love that.
Sean Allen.
I know. It sounds like an old man. Sounds like a middle-aged man.
Sounds like you run a hedge fund.
It does. It does. Both Sean and Aaron are like very Irish names though. And like I'm not that like genetic. Like it's just on my dad's side. It's not like we're like Irish. I don't know what was going on, but I'm glad I'm Aaron and not Sean.
Me too. You know, you could have been Aaron as a boy, too.
I know. They could have just kept it.
Yeah, just spelled it different.
That's easier. Like just pick one name. Yeah. It's fine. Whatever. It's a good thing they had all girls. My sister is going to be named Tanner. So.
Oh, God.
Which isn't bad. I just, like, knew a Tanner, you know?
Oh,
it's like, and I knew a couple Shawns, and, like, none of them were good news, you know?
No, that's true. My brother was going to be Siddharth.
Okay.
But my mom's friend had a baby like 2 months before my mom had my brother named him Siddharth. And so my mom was like, well, we can't have the same name.
Yeah, you can't copy.
She's like, instead of the first name of Buddha, we're taking the second name of Buddha. So his name is Gautam.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay. Nice.
All right.
That was
a tangent.
A fun question to put out. Like, what were you almost named?
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. I did not know that about Mary. So good to know.
Olaf. We should just start calling her that now. Anyway.
Well, next time we'll be going through chapters 5-8. So we'll be heading to camp. Who knows if we'll get there? I certainly don't.
And if you are interested in supporting us, the link to the Patreon is in the episode description, as well as a link to send an audio message.
Social media, you can reach us at Camp Half Pod. Email is camphalfpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to tag your spoilers or include it in the subject line. You want to make this as authentic as possible. I promise I will scream every time I get a new, you get to a new part. So it'll make it exciting for your ears.
Yeah, we've already got, like, there was a one earlier, like last week or the week before, because I posted on Instagram, like, what are your hot takes? And someone commented theirs that was a spoiler. And I immediately was like, delete. And then I was like, hopefully they don't think I, like, I'm offended by their opinion. I just, spoilers. Anyways. Don't forget to rate and review wherever you are listening to the podcast.
All right, see you next week.